In reading the Bible, everything is of importance. The opening of a book of God's Word and the ending of that book should be carefully studied, because the openings and closings of Scripture have within them the greatest thoughts concerning the heart of God. And I was greatly struck the other day when I was reading in the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel and the first verse. And I noticed what the emphasis was in that first chapter in the first verse of Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Notice, please, it's in the singular. When you come down the chapter, there's a talk about the generations. But when it is related to the name of Christ, there's no pluralities. It's the singular generation. For Christ had only one generation, the eternal generation from the Father, his co-equal in the Trinity of God. But then I thought, I said, well, how does the book end? That's the beginning of the book. How does that great New Testament end? And so I turned over to the last verse of the New Testament in the book of Revelation. And what did I discover? I discovered if the emphasis was on the generation of Christ in Matthew 1, the emphasis in the 21st verse of Revelation 22 is on the grace of our Lord Jesus. You put the generation of Christ and add to it the grace of Christ, and that's the best definition you could get of the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the generation of Christ, but it is also the application of the grace of Christ. You have to see before you can believe. And the generation of Christ is revealed in the wonder of it all. There's a verse that Paul wrote, and he said, God manifest in flesh. That's a wonderful statement. God manifest in flesh. That's the generation of Christ. But what did he come to do? He came to give us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the great thing is that grace is for us all. Be with you all. So let it be. Amen. Grace there is, my every debt to pay. Blood there is to wash my every guilt of sin away. Power there is to keep me day by day in Christ for me.
Hallelujah.
And as we come to this table, we see on it bread that speaks of a body. How did God take a body? He took a body because the Father, the prepared the body for him. And not only prepared it, but gave the Holy Spirit the instructions to construct the humanity of Christ. That is a theme that baffles our brains. Think of it, that God the Father, in the womb of the Virgin, by the creative power of the Holy Spirit, prepared the humanity of Christ to make it a tabernacle in which God would dwell with men on earth. And today we have a body, but that body so carefully prepared, the Father prepared it to be broken. He prepared it for the doing of the cross. And the rending of that body by the devil himself, for the devil trampled on the feet of Jesus at the cross. He bruised his feet. But in bruising the Lord's feet, the Lord broke the devil's head. And that's the end. Mr. Spurgeon used to say, "Don't you ever fear to fight with the devil, for he's a broken-headed adversary." And Billy Sunday, a great evangelist in the States, used to say, "What a sore head Jesus gave the devil at Calvary." The old warriors who took their stand in boxing in the early days always believed in hitting their opponent on the place where he had been hurt before. Man, thank God, when the devil hits Satan, he hits him in the place he was fully and mortally wounded for before at the cross. May God give us a vision of the wonderful, outstanding generation of Christ. You know, if you read that first chapter of Matthew, you'll find in it five women. Four were deep dyed sinners, and one was the Virgin Mary. Have a look at them. Yes, Christ condescended to identify himself with the worst on earth, to become the friend of sinners. This man receiveth sinners. There's hope for us all, because that's the only qualification you need. An old Puritan said, "You say to me, how will I qualify to be saved?" He said, "You're already qualified. You're a sinner. And it's sinners Jesus came to save." So as we break the bread today and drink the cup, let us remember the wonder of his generation and the wonder of his grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And some brother will lead us in thanksgiving for this bread, which speaks of the broken body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.